Welcome to Hanging with the Masters. In this show, Sheila Applegate channels the Masters. They answer questions, and you decide how it impacts you. I'm Zach Hansen.
And I'm Sheila Applegate.
And we are the co-founders of Consciously Awesome, your portal to living in higher consciousness. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Zach.
We have a very cool, interesting guest today who went through quite a bit in her life. We're going to be talking about Joan of Arc. And back in the day, she helped the king of France, return the crown to his head with her visions and her guides. So we're going to get in touch with her and see what she wants to say to us.
Yes, it's going to be an interesting conversation, I believe.
It is.
All right. If you want to just give me a moment and I will shift my attention to the energy of the being that we know as Joan of Arc. As I open and shift my attention today, she's riding up on a horse in full armor. And I'm smiling as she does that. And she does take off the armor, get off her horse, and step towards me. At the same time, I'm seeing another version of her, which is beautiful, larger, her ascended form, her higher consciousness is also walking with her, kind of merging as they come towards me. I think this is very beautiful, and I believe it's a technique that's going to allow us to talk to her ascended self while at the same time connecting to a lifetime that was quite some time ago. So the presence of both energies merging together, and now I shift my attention to allow them to merge with me as we expand into one voice.
Joan, welcome to the show, Hanging with the Masters.
I have to say, thank you. And I don't think in my wildest dreams I would ever have imagined that I would be here in this form, this way, in this type of show today.
Me either. It probably makes a few of us, to say the least.
I've always enjoyed being a pioneer, and I am excited to push new ground. I can actually feel a little bit of the excitement when I was forging a new space or planning and coming upon a new location for battle during the war. So that's an interesting, exciting feeling. Not that this is war, but I do think that my perception of war back in the day was much different than the people, all of you who are listening, think of war today. There's been so many changes. So when I say a level of excitement, I'm sure there are some soldiers who would know what I mean. But I'm also certain some people would say, why would you be excited about war? But I feel excited and also uncertain, I suppose, is the combination.
Do you get a little, some butterflies in Sheila's stomach?
I have some butterflies moving in Sheila's stomach. Yes, we do.
Awesome. So what brings you to Hanging with the Masters with Sheila Applegate? Do you have a new book coming out? Are you going to go on tour? What's going on?
I think there's always a book about me coming out. I'm not sure. But interesting you would say that, because I do believe, maybe on tour, we'll see how this goes. I think that the voice of what people now call the goddess energy, the divine feminine, the feminine energy right now, also the female energy or the feminine energy coming forward, the strong voices of women who can forge into new territory while holding the grace, the sensitivity, the vision, and the compassion is something that the world is ready to look at on a new scale. And I think that maybe I influenced the new blockbuster movie Wonder Woman just a little bit. I
Just a
hope.
little bit.
I think I might have.
Well, how did you influence Wonder Woman? Let's talk about that.
Well, there are stories that get told, and sometimes those stories get convoluted, reduced over the centuries, sometimes over a day. But one of the aspects of my being, and quite a bit, in a way, the life that I had as Joan of Arc was unique because with the trial that occurred at the end of my life, I was questioned so much and it was scribed. Now, I'm not saying that the scribe didn't sometimes misinterpret my intention, but much of my life had been documented by my own words. So people can go inward and connect to my words and connect to my energy and understand something that perhaps, though I do believe I've been interpreted, I know I've been interpreted in ways that I, at least the aspect here today, would not align with. But there have been some very accurate interpret understandings, insights into my consciousness and my experience. And I believe we have global consciousness, as you say it now. I love it, the experience at the moment of using new words through Sheila. The global consciousness is a idea that we are all connected. So when the movie creatives, people who write, people who act, people who create music, because movies include music, it includes visions, it includes all of the arts. They often, most of the time, tap into energies beyond themselves. There's an imprint of my energy, both written, beyond writing, and in the essence that you are speaking with today. And when called upon, either by the vibrational stream, meaning they may not have been going for Joan of Arc, though in this case they did a little, but they may not be going for Joan of Arc, but they may be going for the storyline that I embodied or the understanding. And then my energy flows into them and we blend together to tell a new story.
So what you're saying is that you worked with the artists of the movie and were able to give them impressions.
I would like to say that I did, and I
Yeah.
don't think I got credit for
You
that.
weren't in the
I
credits.
was not in the
That is
credits. I
not
was
fun.
disappointed. Not
Yeah.
really. I was never, I that's a joke because if you know me in the life that was Joan, and as we said earlier, I'm coming to you beyond my life of Joan, but very tuned into that life. I really, and this is accurate, I really did not look for attention or credit, so to say. So I joke with you about that.
Yeah, sometimes the spotlight's not good sometimes.
It didn't work out well for me.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of where we're trying to break the mold a little bit here, with the show and just introduce people who may not understand channeling so well or are might be new to it or even old to this and just kind of let people know that this is a natural experience that everybody has. Just some people, I think, have better receptors than others, perhaps, or maybe refined throughout their lifetime. Can you tell us a little bit about your experience as Joan and maybe like the difference between your visions and the difference between your guides and that kind of stuff?
I can. And I think this is so important because there was so much to my personality, so much to who I was. And I was not on Earth for this lifetime for very long at all, under 18 years, I believe. And 19, it's hard to remember back exactly, but 18, 19, very, which of course is much older than it would be for you to think of an 18, 19 year old now. And I certainly lived a lot, but I lived a lot in a very short period of time. All that I did to fulfill my visions occurred in about 2 months of my life. And that was the battles that we know of, the bringing power back to France and the coronation of my king. That period was a very short period of time, and the stories become quite vast. And so my story does get flattened a bit. But I was so much more than even that. I do like your question in that I did have some very clear, profound, what you would call visions, that were deep meditative states that were spontaneous. And I also had a deep connection to nature, to the fairies, and to voices. They were more like, I believe you just called them my guides, and certainly they were my guides, and many times it felt as if my true friends were not on Earth. But they stayed with me and spoke to me you could also call it intuition, but I heard them as voices and conversations. Some people might say I was schizophrenic, or what you would call it, you would say a mental diagnosis. Now, I do not believe that to be true, though even the labels of that probably are misconstrued even now. But it was an ongoing conversation. And then I also just simply felt knowing. I was able to put things together. I was able to see pieces of a puzzle, to gather information, and to see a overview of things, and intricacy, which of course helped in the battle.
Sometimes it's quite hard to describe consciousness, right? We use all these different terminologies to describe our experiences, with just, you know, just being able to know something without having any external input or formal education or anything like that. We all certainly have the ability to tap into the all that is, so to speak, in the infinite field of everything, and produce information out of it, whether that's through a vision or through voices or sound or sight or colors, all that kind of good stuff. So you would, am I gathering this correctly? Like, you just kind of, you had all of those things, it sounds like.
I really believe that that is true. And I would say that it was so natural for me, it seemed odd to me that it was not natural for others. The attention that I got was perplexing to me. However, it aided me in accomplishing what I was set out to do. And I saw a vision of the King of France, his coronation, and his regain of the power of England, the monarchy. I apologize, of France over England. In my mind, I was driven to complete this task so that I could be free to just simply live. I thought it was a, I thought that when I accomplished that, everything, my responsibility would be over, and that I would simply just go back to the quiet life with my mother. And perhaps that was naive of me. I didn't think things through, which sounds strange because, of course, I must have thought things through quite well to accomplish what I did. But I did a lot. I followed a path. I was driven, and I would have no other, I have no remorse over that. And the fact that you have invited me here or accepted my request here today is indication that I impacted greatly in that single lifetime in a very short period of time. And so in the big picture beyond my life, I can see that in many ways, the choices I made were driven. I was more in the spirit world than I was in the physical world, but I longed for the time that I would settle more into this physical world and just enjoy the luxury of the human experience. However, in accomplishing, I had a vision. I was very determined, and in having such determination to complete my vision without perhaps interpretation other than my relationship with spirit, I forged forward with drive. There were prophecies of someone coming. The description fit me. I don't know that I was ever attached to it having been me, but it opened doors for me to accomplish what I believed I needed to accomplish, so I accepted it. Of course, it probably was me that they had foreseen. But there was no question. When you are in battle, you use all of your resources. So my notoriety, though I did not need it, I assumed if people needed it, then why would I not also leverage the stories that they needed to allow me to do what I believe in a way, because it gets more complicated when we move beyond time and space. But what I believed was my instructions from God. So I just took the path and did without thinking much, though I was guided greatly.
So let me ask you about your drive. You had a vision, and you wanted to fulfill this vision. So was this drive, was this because of your loyalty to your king?
Oh.
Or was it because of your connection with divinity that gave you this drive, or was it both?
I always said that the Lord was my master, that God was, I was a servant of God and only God. However, When I saw the vision of my king being crowned, I saw what you call here today the ascended self. I saw his potential. I saw I felt his soul potential. And I believed that at the incarnation, at the coronation, when God breathed his breath into him, that he would become that. So my commitment was always to God, but I did see people for their souls and sometimes overlooked the rest. Or I just believed that when I completed my tasks, he would be the one that I saw. But I believe this is probably still something people struggle with now. But we were at a time where duty, loyalty was considered. So loyalty to your king, or keeping your word to a human, especially a king, was considered being obedient to God. So there's some complexities to that that can be confusing to a 16, 17-year-old girl who is navigating life without an earth mentor. I didn't have anyone that I trusted. I used the conversation with priests to receive insight, but I often didn't get it. I got all my insight from the non-physical. So there were some very perplexing layers to that for me at the time. In retrospect, that could have been my downfall, if we were to assume I had a downfall. It is hard to know if even my death was, we assume that the timeline, that the path that we took, that even that is probably what has raised me to the attention that I get now, and here I am speaking, so, and influencing. There's so many things to consider.
So do you think, from what it sounds like, patriotism from your time versus our time now has changed quite a bit, for sure, because we have here in the United States, we have a president, and he doesn't really, there's not much, we'll say, tradition in his inauguration. There's no, to my knowledge anyway, that it's not based on a spiritual ceremony. It's just kind of a passing of the torch, and that's way different compared to your experience and how things are handled in other countries in the East. So what would you say about patriotism and to follow any visions or drive that one might have to be a patriot, or 'cause we don't have kings anymore. There's a queen. But there's only one royal station left in the world that I'm aware of. So what would you have to say about patriotism in the modern world?
The world was smaller in many ways when I was young. I loved my country, my land. You have to understand that I was born into a war, and wars then happened on the land, and certainly they still do for many pockets of our current earth. But perhaps in some ways, I'm trying to tune in while in this frequency to test this hypothesis that I'm coming up with. But perhaps my perhaps what you would call the Middle East now would be the more similar to where I was experiencing, where there was generations of war had, there were people, so many people, everyone pretty much had never experienced their country being in peace before. And the battles were closer to home, though it was harder to travel, so news did not come so quickly. We did not hear or see the details of most of the war, so many times our days were simple, and in many ways, aside from the energy hovering over us, were unaffected by this. And then other days, they were very affected by it. And certainly some areas where the battles occurred were experiencing it and living it and knew nothing else. But we had been, in effect, invaded. We were a country, and then another country wanted power over us. And for many of the years, even when I was born, the battles had settled a bit, in a sense, and most people had become complacent. Even the royalty, subservient in a sense, or so at the same time, there was this passion of wanting our identity back, wanting our power back, to have our country, to have rights again, I suppose you would say. But I, for sure, and I think more people, did not make my patriotism, my love, and there was a great love for France and wanting France to reclaim itself. And of course, there was some resentment towards England. But we didn't make England to be evil, nor did any one that I went to battle with, did we. We faced them, we looked at them, we were near them, we saw them, our weapons were short. We knew they were humans. We disagreed. And we were closer to death. Death didn't We had a different relationship with death then. Maybe we were more comfortable with death. I know I'm diverting from the original, but patriotism is loyalty and all of these things. But we were at a time when the world hadn't. We were still expanding. We were still separate. We were still growing. Now the world the world is mixed, and thoughts and conversations occur across the world in minute seconds, not days and years. And some of the places that you know of, that you connect with, that you learn from, there we could never have gotten to in a whole lifetime or even known existed yet. So I don't think that the same patriotism that I felt, whether it was just or unjust, can or perhaps should exist in today's time. Something new must grow that is more than identifying small pockets of likeness and separating ourselves or fighting for that.
Yeah, you just answered I was going to ask you that question. Is like, well, do you think patriotism could lead to world peace? And you just answered that question. And you feel like it needs to be redefined.
Well, yes, because hard to express, but we didn't think of ourselves as a world in the same way. We didn't have a conception of world or an ability to traverse the world, to see ourselves and others in the same. Our worlds were much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Our love for our country didn't mean a disrespect or lack of love for another country. And I believe we still just knew that it was at a time of dividing up the land, but the land has been found, and it doesn't make sense to me anymore to be in the energy that you and I sit now.
Sitting where you're sitting now, on the other side, how do you see the impact of your life on the collective story?
I wish that I'm here now, and you said on the other side, so I had to put my attention more on the other side, but then I have to talk, and then I have to be on this side, and it is also confusing, but I think that even that confusion is part of what you are speaking of, because as soon as we pour our energy into a physical body, we experience the limitations of time and space, and we move. I believe every impact has 1,000 trillion, infinite number. Every action has an infinite number of impacts. And when I look from what you are saying, the higher consciousness, and see the patterns, we actually see many patterns. I believe you call them archetypes. And that's where I could influence the Wonder Woman archetype. I can and would like to guide and influence and support the divine feminine archetype that is rising, the strong but gentle, compassionate woman energy that is rising in the world. And my life has impacted greatly many, especially as my story was recorded. Did the outcome of the wars lead to the result that I had thought when I stepped forward? No. Did my life lead to the result? No. Does that mean my actions were wrong or my visions were misguided? I don't believe that, because when we go to the higher consciousness, where, as you are saying, when we see the light work of map of timelines and ripples, I believe you say the butterfly effect, one tiny action, every action of everything that every human, animal, plant does has an infinite structure around it that creates and moves and flows and expands, and potentials and possibilities move and expand and influence. And so a single lifetime, whether mine was for the good or for the bad, is too simple to ask. Whether my visions led me to my downfall, whether I was meant to, whether my death, and I don't know if everyone knows, but those visions that were prophesized that I stood in and allowed to open the doors for me to complete my task and to bring France back were then turned on me. And I spent the end of my life in very difficult prison and trials and torture, and then I was burned at the stake as a witch. And that story of burning strong women, of fearing messages from God, of not knowing that humans can't tell the difference of whether a message is from God or the devil, and both speak the same language. How confusing is that to someone? How stagnating, how suppressing, it's so incredibly suppressing. Did my end of life bring that to the forefront for people to see and move past? Or did it simply make me a martyr that taught people to live in pain and not think of themselves or take care? Or, you know, so many, my life has affected people in so many ways, but the stream of lifetimes, the waves, the intricacies of the patterns are a beautiful flowing event. And when you don't think of every life, when you are looking from, as you say, the higher frequencies, less connected to individual lives, and you're seeing a beautiful mandala of moving energies flowing and evolving, and always, no matter what the storyline on Earth, always expanding oneness into even greater existence, then every moment means nothing and everything at the same time.
Excellent. Do you have any closing remarks to the audience? Is there anything you wanted to share that we haven't talked about yet?
I'm so excited that you listened to me today, and I'd like to come back and speak on other things another time, or you can talk to me too. I like meeting people. I like sharing my story, my journey, ideas. I just feel so much love right now to all of you. I hope that you feel that. Stand strong. One thing that we didn't talk about, but I was strong-willed, and yes, I was convicted with my visions and connected to spirit, but from a young age, I spoke up truth. I spoke my truth, and I wasn't afraid of it. And so, yes, my life did not last a long time. It ended in pain, but the beauty went on. I'm not saying your life will end short or be in pain, but I am saying live. I don't like to put, I'm not used to telling people what to do, but what I'd like to say is the thing that I feel most in my heart right now is I live true to myself in every moment, no matter how the people around me responded. The more people who can do that, the stronger humanity will grow. I thank this vessel and I thank you.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Joan, for joining us. We'll just give Sheila just a minute to come back in to the room. She gets adjusted.
Back into the room.
Yeah, back into the room.
I'm here.
Yeah. Sheila, what were your thoughts on our conversation?
How about you start with yours? I hate to turn it back on you, but I am still adjusting.
Yeah, okay, no problem. No problem.
I need a little time.
I think what Joan said there at the end is very important. And if you heard the episode with Ben Franklin, he was saying the same thing. And there's been a huge message. I haven't been here that long, but I can tell you that the idea of becoming your authentic self is quite the message in the self-help, spiritual community, whatever that stream of, hey, if you want to live an awesome life, you got to find the authentic you. So I think that really is important to master in your lifetime and to know that the authentic self can change too. So I thought that was really good advice from her. And I would like to see how Joan could potentially come back, or I'm looking forward to watching how she influences creativity. And when it comes to bringing the divine feminine back into harmony with the divine masculine.
Yes, I think it's wonderful to watch that creation as it unfolds in the near future, long future. That moment when she spoke, and it's possible that it was partly that I was merging my attention more forward, because we were closing out, getting close to closing. But the sensation in my heart when she said that was like this huge, powerful bloodlight that was moving out to all of you listeners and through me at the same time. And that, I think the words were beautiful. The energy held a weight. When you speak about self-help, finding your authentic self, that's all good, great, true. And we create lots of avenues to help people do that. But this is something more. And I think that we can set ourselves up to, in a good way, we can put ourselves in position to become as authentic as we can. And then when divine flows through us in that state, it becomes unbelievably powerful. And I think that now I felt with her speaking the potential for all of us to reach that state, and how incredible the world will be at that point.
Yeah, it will be awesome for sure. I really liked her. I'm glad she could see that patriotism needs to change. It needs to be redefined. There's no doubt about that, that us versus them isn't a long-term game plan.
And I don't think she, you know, she was very much struggling to answer that question. I could feel her struggling. Mm-hmm. What I felt was her struggling to get back in tune with the feeling of patriotism. And my sense was she knew it was something different than we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the energy in our world right now around patriotism was, and her being in my body made it more difficult for her to tune in to hers. I think she was pretty clear, but just to give you the insight of what it was like to just be feeling her, mm-hmm. not hearing her as much as the words, as the feelings, there was something beautiful in what she felt when she was here in France, younger, and in that experience. But her love for France was never a dislove or dislike, mm-hmm. or choosing France didn't mean she chose against anything else. She just chose France in that moment, if that makes sense. So she wasn't against, it wasn't like she, and she didn't want France to conquer the world or lead the world. She just wanted them to be independent. And that's a different, that's definitely a different energy than what I recognize in our world a lot of times.
Right. There's not a whole lot of conquering going on as far as landmass goes these days, that's for sure. This is definitely different times, and I felt that too. Just like the appreciation for what the culture was and the people, you know?
Yeah.
Just like it, anybody else, you look at your friends and family around you, it doesn't matter where you are right now in this moment listening to this conversation, you know, everybody can look at their friends and family and neighbors and feel the same thing, and it doesn't matter what your culture is. So, just kind of appreciation for people and life. And
right, and that's what she identified as patriotism, and I think that that's what people are seeking, that connectedness, that, you know, you often talk about community, and we've lost community, and maybe in her day, patriotism was more connected to community.
Sure.
That feeling. And it wasn't about being better than. It was just loving your community and then loving other communities if you knew them, but you didn't know as many.
Right. Well, I think that that's all I have as far as the conversation goes. Do you have anything else to add?
It was really an honor to get to know Joan and to allow her to be my voice today.
Yeah.
I don't know. She's been sort of hanging around me for a week or so getting ready. We're learning behind the scenes. For all of you who want to know behind the scenes, I'm on this new venture of channeling or bringing, connecting in a new way. And so we're learning in between the recordings how this works, and I'm learning it with spirit. And I think Steve said that a little bit last week. So Joan's been around. It's like she's a part of our home. You felt her too.
Yeah.
And now she feels like a friend. And I don't know what happens next. Does she leave? Does she stay? So that'll be interesting. And then we bring on the next one. So it's just a fun experience, I guess. So it wouldn't be so much what to say about her, but just this experience for me has been a growing experience as well. I'm pushing beyond even my limits of what I could do and understand. And I'm starting to feel a little bit like she did. There was a time in my life where I felt as if more of my friends were in the spirit world than in the physical world. For sure. When she was speaking about that, I could relate deeply. Lately, I've been very connected on earth too. And I think that's growth. Wonderful. But now having everybody, so many people come in to visit, I've got so many more friends on the other side again.
There's so many.
It's fun.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, Sheila. Thank you very much for tuning in to Hanging with the Masters by Sheila Applegate, and we'll catch you next time.